Live from New York,
it's All Bad with
Alessandra, the one woman who entered the midnight with a full set of teeth.
As you might have noticed, there's no more ads on this show. And that's possible because of Patreon and guys like you and gals. So please subscribe on Patreon. We got special gift for you, and tell a friend. Welcome back to It's All Bad. I'm Danny. I'm here with...
Hey, I'm Reno.
Hey, I'm Keith. And we have Alessandra here, and we're very excited.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, another one from you. She just says, hello.
Hello. What's up with you? Are you going to stay in LA? What are you going
to
do?
I don't know, dude. I'm trying to find someone to swap apartments with me right now. I've been kind of like crawling around, like asking people, like, will you take my little one bedroom in Soho? Like, I keep making
don't they
it
have,
sound
like websites
like
where you can do that, or is that from a
rom-com
or something? I've seen a long time ago, like
Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah,
I mean, I could do that, but then what? Someone like has a party in my apartment.
No. I guess in my like fantasy of it, is it like you meet the person and you're like, hey, you bro down, and you like get to know each other. Like, okay, motherfucker. Trusting you, I've got your spot, you've got my spot.
I have these little things in Venice, and the one tenant I have, it's weird. Every once in a while, she leaves for like 2 or 3 months at a time, and we always fucking like just throw it on like Redfin or some shit, and people rent it while she's gone. It's easy.
I mean, I'll try it, but yeah, if it was like a little meet cute sort of thing,
yeah,
no, that would never work because we'd be in the same. It'd be like. They come, they look at my apartment, then we're married. And so then we wouldn't swap my apartment.
I was forced to watch a rom-com on Netflix the other night with my wife.
You weren't forced, fool.
Okay, I willingly watched it. But it's the story that we're talking about right now, but it's Ashton Kutcher and Reese Witherspoon. She lives in Silver Lake, he lives in New York, and they do a whole thing.
Mm. Yeah, the swap wouldn't work.
Yeah.
We'd be going back and forth together.
Right. That's kind of what happened in the end. In the end, he like signed her son up for hockey and they fell in love and now they live by the reservoir.
In a tent.
Yeah. That's so funny. I know. It's so funny how it's like she has this humble little job and she lives in this like palatial house like on the res. You know what I mean? You're like, it's funny.
It's like Friends. Huh. The show Friends.
Yeah, where they have
like
giant
the
apartment.
Biggest fucking apartment in the city.
Worst show of all time.
All white people.
Most meaningless bullshit.
Yeah.
It's not Seinfeld.
No, it's not Seinfeld.
Seinfeld?
Hey, Soup Nazi's a real guy, right? It was based on a real person or no?
Apparently, but I think he was in Midtown and like you don't go there.
Really?
You know what I mean? Do you go to Midtown? You're a tourist.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Keith goes to New York and he goes to Times Square.
Look, New York's great if you like saxophones. I don't go to New York if there ain't a fucking paycheck involved. I hate that fucking place.
No, I like Seinfeld though because I quote it all the time, like when I'm talking about sobriety and stuff. It's literally, it's like alcoholism. Seinfeld. Every scenario can be tied back to alcoholism. Yeah, dude. You ever seen that episode Worlds Collide?
Give me a little
okay,
bit more.
So,
yeah.
All right, so Worlds Collide. So George has a girlfriend who becomes friends with Elaine. And I always think about that as like, if I had to do like a fear inventory, my worst fear in my whole life is that everyone I've ever met will just be in a room together without me. And I have no idea what they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
But that's George's biggest fear.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because he always has this facade that he portrays with every girl he's dating.
Whatever it is, he just spends the whole episode trying to control and manipulate the situation so that they can't be alone together.
And he goes and sits at the table at Monk's and goes, Jerry, I tell you, she's the most amazing woman. She has no idea who I am.
But, yeah, worlds collide. So, I don't know.
How about the man hands episode? You know, where like Jerry's dating the girl that has the man
I'm
hands?
I'm going to kill him.
Oh, sorry, you're not a Seinfeld.
Like, oh. She's like, oh, you have a little crumb on your face. And she's like wiping the crumbs off his face. And it's clearly like a man's hand.
Yeah, the camera pans to the man's hand.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you got a little smudge on your face there at dinner. And she goes to like wipe his face. And then the camera goes to just be on the hand and the face wiping the crumb off. And it's like a fucking hairy like it's dude's hand.
It's Dennis's hand.
So funny.
Alessandra, tell us when you started getting loaded and where you're from. Tell us how that went. You were 12, right?
So, yeah, I mean,
it was pretty wild.
I left my mom's house when I was around 12. Maybe I was 12 or 13.
Was that in the city?
Nah, so we kind of bounced around a lot. We were living in the Bronx in Riverdale at the time. And it was like this moment where all my friends were going to high schools and shit in New York. My mom wanted to move and I just was like, I don't want to do that. I want to stay. So she was like, okay, yeah. So, I ended up moving in with my grandparents and that was like,
that's in the Bronx too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I ended up moving in with my grandparents. There was like no supervision or whatever.
Oh wow, yeah.
And I was
12.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's like,
yeah,
they're old.
Yeah.
What the fuck are they gonna like?
Oh no, no,
like,
no!
Okay,
I know.
Watch your show. Eat your fucking Stouffer's or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was an altar server, and I was saying that last night. We would do like, you know, our little Sunday service and then just get fucked up.
Yeah. Off the wine at the church?
No. Come on. I'm a good Catholic. oldie, whatever.
Yeah, right, right.
A 40, yeah.
From the bodega.
Yes. A 40 from the bodega. And I would steal like one Newport a day with my cousin. So she would steal one from her mom. I would steal one from my grandma. We'd have like, you know, packs and packs of cigarettes and just chain smoke them on the city steps and like throw up. But, I really, enjoyed just like getting the fuck out of my head when I was like 12, 13, I guess. Oh, yeah, I was probably in seventh or eighth grade. It was like right around that time. I was in eighth grade and my cousin, she's my best friend, but we lived together for a while in high school. We lived together when I moved out here for a bit. We went and got tattooed in like eighth grade or something.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, my dad was living at this pretty sick loft on Broadway. Are you familiar with New York at all?
Yeah, yeah. I am, kinda.
All right, you're not. Okay. Yeah. You're like, I know the Houston Street.
Yeah. Houston.
Anyway, he had this spot in Soho and I like got money for Starbucks and I went and got tattooed. And the fucking tattoo, oh my God. So I was so nervous when I got it because I didn't want anyone to see it. And it was like on my hip, right? But it's literally on my pussy.
Oh my God.
No way.
Because I was just like lower, lower, lower.
Oh, no damn. Way.
So now it's like a fun party trick. You know? People are like, whoa. Dude, it's like the mark of a hoe.
What is it?
It's a star.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. Yeah. I started getting fucked up like pretty young. Coke, pills, you know.
Where were you getting coke from at that age?
The first guy I ever got coke from was like this girl I went to school with. She had an older boyfriend. Mm. Who got it? And then, you know, it was like I couldn't keep asking her for it. So there was this bouncer. I don't know how we found him. Like, you know, you like call the older kids in the neighborhood. You're like, where do you get coke from? Mostly, like, we went to the projects on like 103rd and Lex up there. There was this guy who was a bouncer. Dude, he was so funny. He used to come to school and like pick us up. He was a really nice guy, like holy super shit. Like above board. But he had this fucking, he was like this big black dude. He had this this Rottweiler named Awesome.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And he'd be like, I brought Awesome with me today. Yeah. And sometimes it was like, you know, he had his kids in
that's
the car.
That's so fucking crazy.
Pick us up, drop us off wherever we wanted to go.
They just sell you like whatever, gram a blow. And...
yeah, like an 80 bag or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
The Rottweiler's name was Awesome.
Yeah, it was Awesome.
Was that even like a
yeah,
big
he was
word?
Like a nerd. This dude was such a nerd.
Really?
Yeah, he was a total... he was like into like Battlestar Galactica and shit. Yeah.
Holy shit. Wow. Yeah. Was Awesome even like, I mean, that's kind of such a California word, 80s word. You
yeah,
know?
But he would say it just like that. He'd be like, Awesome. He said it like a cat, like California. Like, my dog, Awesome. yeah.
And so you did, how long did you fuck with, what was his name, the bouncer?
Dude, I can, oh, his name was Prince. Yeah, but he was the bouncer. He was right across the street from my aunt's building. And like, he was just there every night. I don't know how we got introduced to him. Like, damn, you guys are going to ask me questions that I do not fucking know. I do not remember. I haven't thought about this shit in so long. But yeah, he was a nice guy. You know, in our little uniforms or whatever.
Oh, man.
But you graduated high school and everything, right?
I did, yeah.
So when did it start going dark?
It was dark.
Yeah.
It was already dark. Yeah. I mean, so, God, like, I think after I lived with my grandparents, then I moved in with my aunt and uncle, then I moved in with my aunt, and my cousin and I were living together, and that was, like, bad news. Actually, oh, my God, I was telling someone about this at a party the other night, and it just, like, went so sour when I was telling the story.
Why?
Because we had this friend who would, like... she was a nerd too. I was like very judgmental of people who were nerds because I was like, I'm cool.
Yeah, because you like smoked cigarettes and fucking
I
did blow.
Dust. Yeah.
I got a star tattoo.
Yeah, I got a tattoo in the middle of my vagina. Yeah, this girl was always trying to hang out with us and we didn't like her. She was like real square.
Yeah.
And we would be like, all right, fine, you can hang out with us, but we're having a party and you can't drink and you have to clean up all the bottle caps like off the floor and make sure the house doesn't smell like cigarettes before 4 a.m.
Oh, shit.
Because that's when we knew, you know, my aunt was going to come home. We had all the windows open. We'd be like spraying fucking
Febreze
everywhere.
Why did your aunt work at a bar or something?
She had a couple late night jobs. She's the coolest lady ever. But yeah. She managed a restaurant. She was the house mom at one of those, I think it was like Sapphires or...
Oh, one of the strip clubs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's... She is like the coolest woman ever.
Yeah.
She literally is like the stripper whisperer.
No shit.
She has gotten so many people. It's like the dancing to sex work to sobriety pipeline.
No shit.
It's wild.
What leg of that pipeline does she manage?
she's on the whole assembly
the whole
line.
Train, really?
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, you got to get one client. Like, you'd stop dancing, just get one client.
Right.
And then have him bankroll your life. Get sober. It's like a whole...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, she's incredible.
That's a legit setup for, you know what I mean? Like, if you're in that life, and then you're like, you know, okay, I want someone to take care of me, and I'm going to get sober and stop fucking around. I mean, you know, that's the path for some people.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it was like a lot of people around, like, my whole life that were, like, in and out of the rooms, in my family, too. But, yeah, I mean, we had, like, this woman who was very close with my aunt who would clean the apartment sometimes. She was strung out. She passed away recently, actually. She relapsed.
Damn.
Yeah, it was at, like... you know, 55 or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, she would like find a bag of Coke and like be like, is this yours? And we'd be like, yes.
No way.
Yeah.
She was just doing dope. She was just doing heroin.
No, she was sober when, right, at that time.
No, she wasn't. Oh. Or maybe she was. I don't know. She was like on methadone. Like, you know, people are like on methadone for 100 years and they live forever. They're like cockroach status.
Yeah. Petrified, yeah. Yeah.
You started doing dope before you were even out of high school, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's unbelievable to me.
I went.
That's wild.
I went to the methadone clinic 3 days ago. Just so you guys for
All right.
And it's crazy because it was the same methadone clinic that I used to go to dose at.
What, the Beverly and Alvarado?
Yeah, Beverly
one.
And Alvarado, BART, yeah. And so like I'm program director, like a sober living, and like part of it is like, oh, we're gonna like go and outreach, and you know, and I was like, hey, you know what? Why not pop into the methadone clinic? Because maybe there's somebody there that's like, you know, that's like actually tapering off of it. I've never met anybody successfully tapered off, but I had this bright idea where I was like, I'm just gonna go and tell them like, hey, we're the sober living, we're blocks away from here, like here, you know. And like walking in there, like I like walk up to the counter, they're like, sir, you can't walk up to the counter, get back, you know, like somebody's getting their dose, you know. And I was like, oh fuck, like it's been a while since I've been here. And they're like, wait in line. So I had to wait in line with the people dosing to get to walk up to them to like the program director. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, just wanted to let you know we're sober, you know. And they're like, you gotta wait here. She like she steps out, and I was like, fuck.
She's like, Pam, there's somebody out here. Fucking, I'm on my break, motherfucker.
Like, dude, that's like some like, you get sober, and then you're like, I'm above the law.
Totally.
Like I legit like 2 weeks ago, I was trying to help some like, you know, my friend AMA'd from detox. Mm. And I was like, she showed up like 5 hours later. She's like, I'll do anything. And I'm like, all right, then let's go to the fucking psych ward right now. You're going to walk in, tell them you're going to kill yourself. Like, that's a good, solid tactic,
yeah.
Right? It was a Friday night.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, go just be away for 48 hours. And then we'll get you into treatment on Monday.
She was pretty fucked up.
Well, I mean, you know, she got like an oil change, a tune-up. She did like 5 days in detox.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, whatever. She was like going to get loaded for 2 or 3 days, but
yeah.
I think she would have been. She didn't probably have to detox again, but I was like trying to bully her into going into the psych ward. She like, go in there so you're going to fucking kill yourself. She's like, I'm not going to kill myself. I'm like, you literally fucking are. But so then I was like, oh, maybe like, let's try this other thing. So we drove to like, we drove to the fucking like.
To Venice and got some crystals.
Stuck them up her
Wait,
ass.
Was it here or in
no,
New York?
No, it was in New York. Yeah. So we drove to fucking Kings County Hospital. It was gnarly. Like the sign is flickering. Like,
damn.
And I'm like walking up to the desk and I'm like, she's in acute withdrawal, whatever. And they're like, yeah, sorry, we can't help you. But I don't know why I walked in there. And I was just like, I walked right up to the desk and they're like, ma'am, they have guns. They like have bulletproof vests.
Excuse me.
I'm like trying to waltz into a psych ward. Yeah, very
y'all,
different.
Here's my 2-year fucking token, all right? Don't get it twisted. I got it on a keychain.
My kids are bad.
Yeah, I'm like,
shit.
I'm sober. They're like, ma'am, it's 4:30 in the morning. And you're just traipsing through a psych ward.
Yeah.
Those places are.
She's got the NA shirt with Jesus taking the speedball. Have you ever seen that one?
No, I had one that said, like, grow up or die or whatever.
No. Dude, no, there's one, though, where it's a dude shooting dope, but Jesus is behind him. You've seen
and
that.
He's putting and his arm
Jesus
in front
is putting his arm in front of it.
Yeah, like that's what your higher power wants, for sure. Your higher power just wants to get fucked up.
That's a gnarly picture. If you've ever seen
it's gnarly.
Google it, because literally, like, the look on Jesus' face.
He's, like, in pain. It's
yeah, it's fucked,
fucked up.
It's fucked up.
They must have never done it.
Yeah.
Whoever made the shirt. Jesus is, like, fucking sticking himself.
Yeah.
Just
maybe
going,
if he
finally.
Yeah. Maybe if he missed, you know? Maybe that's a different story.
And there was some speed in
a
it.
Bubble. I don't know why I was talking about that fucking girl with the bottle caps. Oh my God, I told that story at a party, and they fucking, they were like, that is so mean.
Oh, about you being a bitch, or to that nerd.
Yeah.
It is pretty mean.
Yeah, but, she's fine. Like, she has, like, kids and, like, they put like Facebook pictures at the pumpkin patch. And but this dude was like, he was like, that's really, really mean.
You're like, it was fucking 1992.
I was like, I don't give a fuck. Who cares? Like, she's fucking fine. Like, look at me. I'm fucking 34. I have no kids. I have no boyfriend. Like, I'm fucking a year sober. Like, what the fuck? Who gives a shit?
People are so sensitive these
days.
Yeah,
I was like, she's alive. Yeah, she's all.
Those bottle caps made her successful.
Yeah. It taught her integrity.
I was like, those bottle caps were her stairway to happiness.
It was a gift in an ugly package. Oh, man. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So when was the first time you tried to get sober? Was that when you moved here?
Wait, no. When was the first time you did dope? In high school?
Yeah, well, I was like doing, a lot of perks and oxy and stuff.
Yeah, it was inevitable.
Yeah, it was fucking inevitable. But I was doing that for like, since I was like, I don't know, a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
It's so baffling to me that somebody that young can figure out how to get that, like narcotics.
Well, you just ask your friend's older siblings.
Yeah. No, I know. It's just like, I probably.
But I had a fake ID. Like, oh my God, I had a fake ID. One fake ID I had, it was a military ID, and it was my Japanese friend, and I am not Japanese, obviously, but I used to use it all the time, and yeah, they'd be like, thanks for your service, like, what the fuck?
People are too scared to question a military ID.
Yeah.
I got caught doing fraud with the military, you know, like, I got caught literally doing fraud, and the cops looked at it, and I had this stack of IDs. I got caught vandalizing with the stack of IDs and credit cards, and the one that just so happened to be on top was the military one, and it kind of maybe looked like me, and I don't know for what fucking reason, because, like, I should be away for a fucking long time, you know? And they looked at me and they go, hey, like, I had a good story. I had a good backstory too. I told them, I was like, oh, none of it added up, you know? Like, none of it fucking checked out. But they were like, okay, throw away all your spray paint right now. And I was like, okay, you know? And I was like, fuck, you know, why are you gonna make it? And
were
like,
you tagging?
Yeah, I was like tagging, broad daylight. You know, I was hanging out with this like escort and her ex-boyfriend, and we were all getting loaded, broad daylight. And I was like, I've got to catch a tag, you know, because that's what I got to do. Like, I got to, you know? And then the cops pulled up and they left, and I was like, fuck, now she's gone with her ex. Like, it just went from bad to worse, you know? And then I have the wallet with literally, it was like six IDs, four of which looked like me, two of which there was no chance in hell they were looked like me, you know, all different, and then cards matching all of those names.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, all of them.
I used to fucking drive into the military base in Orange County and sell methamphetamine all the time. Like, I remember
this
going
El Toro, right?
El Toro Marine Base, yeah. But I met these Marines, and I was like, I've told Dan.
One of them had a great name. What was it?
Bird.
Bird? No, wasn't there another one or no? Or that was somebody else?
Bird was the big giant one from North Carolina. But I'd drive up, like, you know, it's like a fucking dude with a machine gun at the gate. But I'd be like, you know, I don't remember what I would tell him. I guess whoever I was seeing. And
here to buy auto parts.
No, but I'd come in there, and I'd go to his apartment. It looks like a little town. And I go to his apartment, and different Marines are just coming, and I'm like weighing shit up. And I was like, I thought it was so cool. I'm like, in hindsight, I'm like, fuck, I'm lucky I didn't get life in prison for that shit. And then it turned into typical tweaker shit. Hey, we don't really have all the money. I remember leaving there, my car packed with camouflage clothing.
Oh, yeah,
oh my God.
Because, you know, you're obsessed. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to get a machine gun and a fucking night vision.
Yeah.
Never got anything close. Just like shitloads of camouflage clothes.
Yeah, you're like me. You like trades.
Yeah.
I love a trade.
Wait, is that the guy that was sitting there polishing the that's Bird?
Yeah, Bird.
Oh, yeah. He got all the fucking, he literally sat there with, was it sandpaper or what was
steel
it? Steel wool.
Trying to clean this Suzuki Samurai that belonged to another Marine who was waiting on us to get him a pound of weed. We disappeared for 3 days and left him in a hotel by Disneyland, one of the shady momos that used to be there.
Oh, God, Anaheim. People don't even know Anaheim.
Ooh, it was so fucking dark, those Disneyland motels. So fucking dark. I mean, I was there at night. Like, I was you know, I'm a fucking veteran. Like, I was on parole and shit, and I was like, fuck, it is wild.
It's wild over there. Harbor Boulevard, wild. Beach Boulevard.
Yeah, and everything. But
as
like,
soon as you turn off of, like, Coachella, where, like, Knott's is or Disneyland is, and you go either way, well, really, like, south toward the coast, it just gets, like, hostel, parolees, fucking gangs. It's wild there.
I think they've wiped it out, right? Didn't they tear it all down?
No, I mean, I got, it's been a while, but I got loaded there at the Peter Pan Inn. But that was a long fucking time.
That's one
ago.
Thing New York has, honest. They don't have all these weird name fucking Momos. Yeah. The Peter Pan Inn. The Golden.
The Snooty Fox.
We got weird. We still have weird hotels. Like when you go out to Queens and stuff. Or motels.
Is that where the drug motels would be out in Queens and shit?
No, I didn't get drugs there. But like I would get high and then sleep in the car. I had this boyfriend, like, this was after I got, like, you know, I wasn't at my dad's anymore. I was like sleeping in a car. It was a whole winter where I was just sleeping in a car.
Damn.
And
freezing?
Yeah, fucking freezing.
Oh my God.
We'd get like all those little blankets from like Rite Aid or whatever, the ones that like just cover your crotch, you know, and like Snuggies. Put them in the window.
No way.
To like cover the window and sleep in like motel parking lots, you know, and they come like knocking on the window, like, get the fuck out. And we were just like, okay. So we'd go to the next one. I don't know what any of them were called, man, but. Yeah, I spent a lot of unnecessary time in motel parking
lots. I think their version of motels out there are projects, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
probably.
Basically, like, we don't really have that.
No, we have a thing, like, if you're going to get loaded, you'll rent a motel for a couple of days, you know what I mean, and do your business in there.
For sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean.
We have this thing here called motels. I don't know.
No, but I don't know, New York.
I feel like you jerk off. Yeah. You don't know, but too much drugs.
But do you guys have Momos? Because, like, meth's not big there.
Yeah. No. But, yeah. I mean, I didn't really, like, encounter any tweakers until I moved here.
That's what I figured, yeah.
When I was strung out, I was, like, living at this building in Koreatown.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, dude. It was so fucked. It was like the Twilight Zone. Like, everyone was
and you're
ugly.
Like 19, right?
Everyone was ugly.
Yeah, I was like 17, 18, and then right when I got sober, I was 19. So it was like, everyone was fucking horribly ugly and disfigured.
What?
Yeah, it feels like an acid trip when I think about
it. What the fuck?
So
was it Section 8? Like
no,
people
it was like a nice building or whatever, but it was weird. It was like all like crooked and the fucking paint was like falling off the building. And it had a piano in the lobby, but not
creepy.
One of those, like not like a grand piano, like
one that played itself.
No. It's like one of those fucking pianos that you have in like the gymnasium.
Oh,
in like middle school, that like someone plays the Star Spangled Banner and it's like kind of out of tune. It was just like it was like an upright piano.
Like one
in
from
the
a
middle.
Western movie and shit.
One that belongs against a wall, but it was in the middle of
upright,
the lobby.
It's called, an upright,
Yeah, and just like, you know, like dead plants with like fucking rigs like in the plants.
Oh,
it was fucked up. It was really, really
I never
weird,
got down to
like,
Korea. I got down in Koreatown once. This escort that I knew, she was like, I know this guy that's managing this building, and it's a street that runs the same way as like Wilshire and Olympic and everything, but it's a number street or something. I can't remember exactly. Yeah, probably. And it's this old, really badass, beautiful brick building. And this dude was like the maintenance or manager guy, and he was just a tweaker, perv, weirdo guy. And he's like, yeah, fucking, I'll hook you up with a unit. Just give me some shit. And like, he just like let us like kind of like have this unit for like a couple of weeks, and I kind of came and went, but she basically set up shop in this thing.
Where
and,
was it?
I want to say,
did it have a funny name? Did the bill, was it like the Gaylord or the Dicksboro or something?
No, not Dicksboro.
Dick Sucker.
Dick Sucker. The Gaylord, the Dick Sucker.
A lot of people live in the Gaylord.
Those are
a lot of people we know.
Those are the baller buildings.
Yeah,
the Gaylord and the Dicksboro.
Where's the Gaylord? That's down on like that's right by the donut shop.
That's fucking
Hancock
Park.
Yeah. You know where what it's the street Vine turns into?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, this shit was on like Wilshire and Normandy or like Irolo.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Irolo. Yeah.
Irolo, yeah.
Irolo, yeah. But there was a tweaker, or I mean, I'm sure there were many, but there was one that I knew of because his fucking. So he had this girlfriend. She was in a wheelchair, but she could walk. Like, I seen her walking.
If she had dope, she could walk.
Yeah.
No, I'm not fucking with you.
I'm sick.
There was a guy, there was a dude that we knew from the valley that was like, I won't go down the whole road of his roll of his story, but he, when he was high on dope, he was an ex, like some weird shit, like Olympic ice skater or something. He, if he was high on speed, he was like fine and functioning. And then he got busted and he didn't have speed anymore. And they went to visit him. He's in a wheelchair. He's like, yeah, all my injuries. Like, if I don't have dope, I can't walk. Speed dope. Not heroin, but speed dope.
He needed the miracle to walk again.
He's like,
he could find the will to walk.
So she could walk, but she
just
like.
Yeah, she could walk. I don't know what she was. Oh, she was. So she would like panhandle on Wilshire.
So she had stolen a wheelchair from somewhere.
Yeah, she was just like fucking hamming it up in that thing. And then I seen her walking.
She was like, I see you. I know you can walk.
Yeah, but
bitch.
She lived with this dude who looked like. I don't know. In my memory, like in my mind's eye, he was like some like tiny, weird, like Jesse Pinkman type dude, you know, like typical tweaker looking dude. But I would go down. I didn't have a car. I didn't drive at the time. I didn't get my license till I was like 25.
What is it about fucking New Yorkers that move here? They think they're like, it's like fucking a cat to water. They're terrified of fucking cars.
I know.
They're terrified of fucking cars.
I'd be like, my chariot. Meanwhile, the driver of my chariot was my boyfriend. We were driving to like, so he could go turn tricks.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Shit got real.
Oh, yeah, no, he turned tricks to get at you, right? Or, what
no,
was
he just didn't want me to do it.
Yeah.
He was like jealous. So he'd be like, I'd do it. I'm like, dude, you're just gay. Like, it's
he was
fine.
Trying to be all cavalier about it.
Yeah. Like, that's fine. It's totally fine. Yeah. He had a fucking client in like Palm Springs.
Wow.
It's a long drive.
Yeah. So we'd drive out there together and I would just like, it was really one of those situations where like, we'd drive out there together. We'd get there at like, we would be like, okay, let's go. We're going to get there at 11, but we'd end up doing like, you know, 3 8-balls. And then we'd get there at 6 o'clock in the morning. The guy would have called like 40 or 50 times.
Yeah.
And he's just ignoring all the calls. Cause you know, you're like fucking just geeked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'd get there and then he'd like kind of just be like, all right, I'm going to go help him like with his file cabinets or whatever. Yeah. And so I'd just be sitting there like coming down. And those
car?
Were the moments. No, in the house, like in the living room.
Oh, and he'd be in the bedroom?
Oh, yeah. Door closed. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So fucking
fuck.
Gnarly.
He wouldn't even leave you shit, like drugs to do while they were back then?
No, because we would have done all the drugs. So then we had to go do the thing.
Oh, this guy didn't do drugs.
No.
Oh,
so, no, this guy was like
the worst kind of trick.
Oh, my God. He was just, yeah, deplorable. So,
like an older guy?
Yeah, older. Yeah. So, basically, actually, I think his name was Keith. Now that I think of it. But, like, yeah, so I'd just be sitting there coming down. The sun would be out, and I would just be like, I'm going to fucking kill myself. I cannot live like this another day, another minute. And then, you know, a couple hours later or like 5 minutes or like five hours. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
He would come out with like $1,000 and I'd just be like, okay.
Let's fucking go.
We're good. Life is fine. This is totally fine.
It's so crazy. I heard Bob Forrest say that one time on a podcast where he's like, it's unbelievable how $20 will completely turn your fucking attitude around. Like,
dude,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like literally $20, a Starbucks gift card, a $50 Starbucks gift card that you could sell for $30.
Yeah.
That's like.
Yeah, you're like, I'm on my way.
Yeah, I get another 2 weeks out of that of like will to just like live.
Totally. Totally.
You know?
Drive the engine.
And it
so
keeps,
many
and,
bottoms.
And the bar keeps getting lower and lower. Because I remember the last Christmas that I was getting loaded, I got kicked out of a hotel right here down the street. Not a motel. Hotel.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah. We were staying at the JW Marriott. We
love
had a room
that.
There.
Love that place.
We had a room there that we were renting under a persona, one might say, that was not us, you know? And this dude got there and he was trying to impress these girls that were dancers that were like, got out of detox, but wanted to get high before they went home to see their families in Arizona. And he was like impressing him and he was like, oh, I'm gonna get room service. And he kept ordering all this room service, but not like, you know, like ordering like hundreds and then thousands of dollars worth of room service, like thousands of, I'm not exaggerating. Then we went to the lobby and at the JW Marriott, they have a, I'll try to run through it a little quickly. They have a Tumi store, you know? So then he was like, yo, y'all girls want any bags? You know, he was like a white, like a
you
white
want a
dude.
Suitcase, baby. Yeah,
you want a Roman suitcase, an $800, you know? And they'd be like, sure. You know, they're all twacked out. So they want anything they could get. So then it's like, oh, charge it to the room. And he was like, this was under the name of like some Asian businessman that the fucking, that the room was in, you know? And this white kid with like fucking this little like redheaded white kid that has tattoos on his face is under no circumstances fucking by any way like should, you know? And they were like, oh, what room is it? And he goes, Ms. blah, 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 room 702. And they were like, that's, you know, goes, oh, I'm a business associate of Mr. Wu or whatever the fucking, you know, the name was.
Oh my God.
So they go and they fucking, they go and like, basically they show, like the room gets flagged. You know, we what's the one right next to it? There's the,
oh, the Ritz-Carlton?
The Ritz-Carlton. So we're on the roof of the Ritz-Carlton. There's a Wolfgang Puck little restaurant with the bar on the roof. And I'm sitting there. I don't know how I've never told the story.
I think you have.
I think I have. Yeah.
You have. I remember it.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there on the roof and they come and they're like, whoop, whoop, whoop. Like, basically, they're like, hey, the security is going to keep you here because the cops are on their way. Because whatever. Because everything got flagged. And he's up there with the two girls. And I'm like, oh, this is bad. You know, like, this is a, like, the, like everything just went to shit. And I remember walking over and I'm kind of smoking a cigarette and looking over and you could see the cops right there. You know, maybe it was my imagination, but I remember the cops, you know. And I was
you're like,
I gotta,
how
yeah.
far is
yeah,
the pool?
Yeah, I gotta use the bathroom. And they're like, what do you mean? They're like, I was like, I gotta use the bathroom. And they're like, well, here, you could piss in the plants. I was like, well, bring me a fucking bowl because I'm gonna fucking shit because I'll be shitting in it. And the security was like, here, I'll walk you to the bathroom. And he walked me over there and he walked in. And I remember coming out and seeing that he had his back turned toward the bathroom. And I ran down all the staircases. And that's a big motherfucker. That's you know, I don't
it's
know
like
how many.
40, 50, 40 stories.
Good you know. Thing you had your military ID.
And I dipped. And they all got arrested. You know, the dude who's like the room was in, oddly enough, just reached out to me a few days ago and was like, hey, man, just wanted to let you know.
The red hair dude?
No. The dude who like organized this whole thing.
Yeah.
Who was like getting loaded just to reach out. He goes, hey, I just wanted to let you know you inspired me. Like, and I'm sober now. I got out of prison. I'm sober. He's coming to fucking, he's coming to a meeting tomorrow. So you guys will meet him.
Nice. Yeah. Damn, I had something like that happen a few years ago. Someone like, you know, when you like let, you're like, okay, I'm going to let you kick dope on my couch. And I'm just like feeding them trazodone for a week.
Uh-huh.
But he's still getting loaded. I stepped on a needle in my bathroom. And and I was like, you're gone. I think like, I don't know who helped, but, you know, I drove him to Tarzana.
Oh, it was in L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he hit me up like a few years ago. But he left. He left and he showed back up at my house like a day after.
Tarzana?
Yeah. And I was like, bro, like, I'm not doing this again. But yeah, he's sober. Wow, he's been sober a while. I'm not going to call him out, but
yeah,
we love him.
That's so
do we know him?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, okay.
That's so funny. Tarzana's well, yeah, a good place. The methadone detox there is great, in my opinion.
Well, what's the deal
this episode,
with California?
This episode is brought to you by Methadone, the Methadone Clinics of America.
Subutex.
Is
it like, I feel like in California, like it's so much easier to get into treatment and then people stay.
Yeah, because it's a racket here. It's a total like insurance fraud thing here.
Yeah, but like, I feel like in New York, like, people go to treatment for like an hour and then they're like, I'm leaving. And everyone's like, okay, bye.
No, here, like, you could be in one rehab and some other rehab will meet you at a meeting and be like, hey, you should come over here because it's all insurance.
And they'll pay you. Yeah. Is that still going on?
I think so, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, patient brokering where they'll get you into a place. And actually, this is kind of interesting. So the person that we were talking about right before this that you mentioned the thing with, the one that I said at the meeting,
yes.
You know, yeah. So I helped get this person into treatment maybe 5 years ago where it was like, hey, I got this insurance policy and I got her into treatment and she stayed there for 90 days or something and then dipped, like as she does, you know, and she went to wherever she went. And the place calls me 6 months later and they go, hey, is this Mr. Harunji? And I go, yeah. They're like, "Oh, we have a. We just want to thank you for referring blah 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 to us. We have a $4,000 check for you."
What?
And I was like, "What?" And I like just lost my job.
You're like,
and I
fuck
was
it,
like,
"I'm getting loaded."
Oh my God! Like, thank you, God. You know, and that thing hit me, and I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "If I take this fucking thing, you know," because I was honestly just helping get her into a fucking place. She's strung out. She's on the street. I found a spot. You know, I was like, "Cool, this is my friend. I'm gonna help her." You know, and they were like, "Here," like, and I was like, "Hold on, like, I gotta think about this." And I called them back, and I like took it to God, you know, and I was like, fuck. And I thought, and I like really, like, I was like, I need this, you know. And I was, and I knew if I would have taken it then, it would have been fucking over. And
like, you would have just been making calls for people.
I would have been that dude, left and right. I'd be like, "Yo, what's good? You need treatment?" You know, like posting on Facebook, "Anybody need help? You know? Holler at your boy." So, yeah. And I didn't, so I told him, I was like, "Hey, I was like, you know what? Why don't you donate that to a charity of your choice?" And they were like, "Okay, nerd, whatever." You know?
Nerd.
Yeah.
The charity of their choice.
The charity of their choice. They're like, fucking.
Their own charity. Yeah.
Can you tell us that story of when you stole the guy's thing? The SSRI?
Oh, God. Okay. So, yeah. So I stole money.
Oh.
Yeah. I stole money from him because he had just gotten his Social Security. That was my neighbor. So, oh my God. Wait, I told you this?
You texted me.
Oh, fuck. Okay, so.
Was this in Koreatown?
Yeah, dude. This fucking guy. So, basically, the guy who lived with the two women, I think I mentioned that.
No.
Okay, so the neighbor who, like, shot me up for the first time, he was this, like, guy in a wheelchair who wore camouflage. So I assumed that he was like a combat veteran, but he was on permanent disability. And so he just had like scripts to everything and was a junkie. He had like morphine patches. He just had, I don't know how, he had like a fucking pharmacy.
Yeah.
And he always wanted to hang out. And I was like, yeah, cool. Cause I didn't have to pay for drugs. I didn't have to do it. I just kind of like hung out with him.
Watch The View, fucking get high all day.
Dude. Fucking eat Skittles, whatever.
Eat Skittles.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, it'd be like 3-4 days at a time, and then like I'd kind of like be like, "What the fuck is going on? I got to clean my life up," because there would just be like bottles of like piss. It was so gross. He had like this cloudy piss. He had like a bag. It was like a whole.
This is in Koreatown?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to ask you this too. Did he? Oh my God. Because I've talked about this guy. He was a meth guy.
No, that was my neighbor, which I can tell you about also.
Okay, let's keep going.
Well, he was my neighbor too. Uh-huh. This whole building was full of fucking lunatics. Mm-hmm. So he gave me his debit card because he wanted Coke, and I was like gonna go out and get some, and I was gonna go to the ATM machine, but he had just gotten his Social Security and
how much was it?
It was like $400 or something. He had like $400 in his bank account. Yeah. I just drained it. I took all his money. I went to this other house like down the street, got high. Didn't come back. I came to Santee Alley or like somewhere down here, and it was like one of those days, you know, like the best days loaded is like it's like when you get high and you just shoplift all day. You're just like, I ended up like with like, I had like two of those like you know, those like plastic tote bags just like full of like fucking like bikinis and mini skirts and like jewelry and all sorts of fucking weird shit. Oh, I got like light switch plates with like Dia de los Muertos, like just a bunch of fucking bullshit. He was pissed, obviously, because I drained his bank account. And I came back like a couple hours later. I was like, you know, on top of the world. I had like my big glasses on, like a little slip dress. And I thought I was going to like slink in like the Pink Panther. Yeah. So I like come into my lobby with my bags and he's just sitting there. And he's like, "You fucking cunt. Like, you stupid fucking bitch. You took all my money. Like, where's my fucking drugs? You were supposed to come." And I was like, "Dude, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's cool. Like, everything's fine." And so he, like, starts wheeling over to me, And he's like going up the ramp, and I walk up. There was like two little steps, and I just start pressing the elevator button. And I'm like, okay, okay, okay. Like, whatever. What's this guy gonna do? The elevator door is open, and he starts like wheeling in the elevator. So I'm like all the way at the back of the elevator, just like up against the wall.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to hit the fucking close button. And he just like starts grabbing at me. He's like ripping my dress off, like ripped my necklace off. I'm like, oh my God, this is fucked. But the door closes, and I don't know if the elevator was broken or it was just like old or whatever, but there was no sensor. So it like closed on the spokes of his wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
And he was just like there, like lunging at me.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So I just like put my foot out, and I was just like, boop. And he fucking fell over. And he's like on the ground, just like flopping around.
And then you just adjusted your sunglasses and
literally
floor.
The door's closed. I actually like vaguely remember being like, that was the most fucked up thing ever.
Yeah.
And I felt really bad for the dude.
I mean, he was ripping your fucking dress
off
your body.
Dude, my tit was out. Like, it was just like a whole but it got so much worse, like, because I got upstairs and my boyfriend at the time was just, like, passed out, spread eagle on the bed. And there was porn on the fucking, like, computer, on the TV. Like, it was just,
he was gooning.
Dude,
like,
it was like the doorknobs were slippery.
With
like
lube.
Dude, it was so fucked up. And he was dead. Like, he was alive, but he was just God. Like out, and his phone was like ringing off the hook, and it was like this chick's name, and I just like fucking went completely insane. We got in a huge fight, and we had like a really violent relationship. But like, it's so weird. I was actually talking to someone about this recently. Like, I'm lucky. Like, I'm blessed that I haven't had, like, this victim mentality.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, oh, we fight. Like, what that meant to me was, like, he beat the shit out of me, like,
damn.
Constantly.
Damn.
And I was just like, oh, we fight. I never felt like, oh, I'm beaten. I'm a battered woman. Because I stabbed him with fucking nail scissors. Like, I hit him over the head with a computer once. Like, he was bleeding out of his ears.
Damn.
Yeah, I fucked him up. But, yeah.
Is he sober now?
Out of his ears? No. Jesus Christ. No. But
I'm picturing this guy kind of like a like skinny, like the singer of like an emo band looking.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah, for sure. Really? Exactly. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, because that's the dudes that hit women are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that's true.
Not, yeah. They're like pussies.
Yeah.
We used to fight all the time. And we had a roommate too. One roommate we like drove out. She moved to LA from New York. I worked at American Apparel with her. That's like a whole other fucking part of my life that was just so insane. Actually, Dave the other night was like, oh, I got to introduce you to this other girl that worked at American Apparel. And I was like, why?
So you guys can start a class action lawsuit?
Why would the two of us need to have a conversation?
That's funny.
There's a bunch of junkies that all worked at American Apparel, you know?
Dude, yeah. I mean, when I was at American Apparel, I was a fucking garbage head, you know?
Was that here or New York?
In New York.
Okay.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was like...
Or they had a big store in Brooklyn or all over the place.
All over. There was one on the Lower East Side that I worked at. I was a key holder, which was like a very big deal. But that's like what you do at 16, right before Dove convinces you to drop out of high school.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's like the...
That's the way. Right.
Yeah. And I started working there. I had, you know, when I started working there, I was like, you know, like kind of punk or whatever. I had my nipples pierced. And he was like, ew, you got to take that out. And I did. And I like, you know, no makeup, fucking, I had to take out my nipple piercings, which I regret to this day. I guess I could redo it, but at 35, that's like such a weird move.
I mean, fuck it, live a little. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Imagine, I like, well, whatever. So, Yeah, I don't even know what I was saying.
American Apparel, Dove. Wait, real quick on the Dove thing. Does, like, so he makes you a key holder. This is a store. The store in LES is kind of like an influential store.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. We were open till like 2 a.m. Really? Like,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was like a party store.
A lot of those bands like had the look from American Apparel, right? Like some of, weren't there a bunch of bands out of the LES that were like...
Yeah, like the Rapture and like all those, yeah.
And
yeah.
What's her name that... why can't I think of her name?
Peaches.
Well, her for sure, but like, God, what is Karen O?
Yeah.
They all kind of had like, or maybe, I don't know if it was like, they had the,
you remember, like, the bodysuit and all that
shit.
They kind
of drove the what they made. It's probably that. They probably saw like Dove probably, and the designers and people.
Well, we used to go to like the garment district. I would go with Dove all the time to the garment district, and he would just like buy random shit and then be like, he'd take it to the factory and be like, copy this,
right,
exactly.
Right.
But he always had Valium.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was like but he never did any drugs.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was like a very like, he didn't drink, he didn't do drugs. He was like a, you know how like Vincent Gallo's like that too.
Really?
Like never did a drug or drank. Maybe he did, but he's just a fucking weirdo. He's just a weirdo.
Yeah, right, right.
But, yeah.
I fucking love that movie, Buffalo 66.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. But Dove had an apartment upstairs, or like two apartments. So we would just like go back and forth from upstairs to the store. And then like two doors down, one of my Coke dealers lived there. So it was just like a good... radius,
yeah,
for a while.
So it was rocking.
Yeah, it was rocking. A rocking radius. That was like the New York sleaze era. I guess that's like what they're calling it now.
Okay,
like you know, Cobra Snake and like that was like
That was the same year that I was rocking the deep V with the fucking cardigan, going to Cinespace Tuesdays.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, Cinespace exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to Misshapes.
Which is the same.
Which is like the same thing in New York.
DJs, right?
Yeah. But they had a party every Saturday.
Yeah.
And it was at this place, Movida. Then it was at Don Hills.
Yeah. I had a buddy that was the marketing guy that was dating for a long time one of the girls from the Misshapes. They were like, they looked like twins or sisters, but they, am I right about that? Or
yeah,
no?
Well, Leah or something. I think
and the other
her
one's
name
is like Carol Ann or some two name thing.
I kind of
like,
remember. I vaguely remember them too.
Something like that. Anyway,
It was, but that was like when it was still fun. But you know, it was crazy because like, I don't know how it was in LA, but like in New York in 2003, 2004, like you would just like rip a crack pipe in the basement of the club. And like that was like a funny party drug.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Smoking crack. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Here it was a little. It was like a little more like, I don't know. It took a little bit more time to kind of catch up, you know. And it was kind of like the
did crack become like a ironically hip party
kinda,
drug?
Sort of. Yeah.
Wait, that Dove thing. So Dove's apartment, was there just everybody was doing drugs and that guy wasn't?
No, it was more like everyone was fucking.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get sued for saying that. I'm going to get sued. He's like fine, has a new company, but I'm going to end up getting a defamation lawsuit.
I remember I saw a doc where he had like someone from like Jane Magazine following him around like to do a story on him. And didn't he have like, always had like multiple assistants, like young female assistants.
Yeah.
And he just like was trying to like kind of like shock the woman that was gonna like write the article and just literally like started like going down on one of his assistants.
Well, he had Hitachi wands. He had the Hitachi wands.
What the fuck is that?
Vibrators?
Yeah, it's like come on. It's like 200 horsepower fucking vibrator. Like you have to wear clothes. Like over, like you can't.
Oh,
it will like
so
rip.
Powerful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Hitachi wands.
Just for reference, you know.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. He had those in his apartment.
Yeah, he had like hundreds of them, like drawers full of
no
them.
Way. Wow.
I swear to God.
Like new ones or used ones or did like, you know?
I don't know.
My man loved it don't matter. Pussy, I guess. Yeah.
He just liked massages. What do you mean? You know?
That's wild.
He was a nudist. He didn't like to wear clothes. He was always fucking naked.
He's always like, I know several women who he's like, he just pull his dick out in front of. He's fucking gnarly.
Yeah, that's fucking wild.
It was a really fun time in my life. It was
that's
great.
Rad. That's
yeah,
fucking
it was
cool.
Sick.
All kids your own age, all good looking. You guys are like working at the stores. I mean, that's what I remember the American Apparel stores being like. It was all like kids around the same age that are all good looking.
Everybody who worked at those fucking stores was good looking.
Yeah.
Like it was curated.
And it was like fun. Like I was still going out. I was like really fucked up at the time. And then like I would say like 2003. There was like bad dope and like five people died.
Oh, really?
And like it was like one of those like boom, just like a wave. Yeah, two girls I went to high school with died.
Damn.
Yeah, in the projects like way over by the FDR on Houston.
So at this time you're doing heroin, but you're just snorting it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I wasn't like really... Like, I would get, like, a little strung out. I think the first time I got, like, strung out, I didn't know I was.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I was like, I have the flu. Oh, yeah. My God, you know? Yeah. And then just, like, it would be this thing where I'd, like, get a little strung out. And then I'd, like, do, like, coke for 5 days.
Yeah.
And then I'd be fine for 2 days.
Yeah.
And then I'd get strung out again. And then I would, like, smoke crack. And then I would be fine. You know, it was, like, this back and forth. Or, like, drink, you know... I think like I was the first time I was like intentionally kicking dope. I was just like drinking a lot.
Cisco or some shit.
No, I was drinking like red wine or something.
Wow.
Just like, and then I was like, I'm only going to smoke weed now.
Yeah.
And I would just like lay on the floor, like fucking dying. Just like the worst, like vomiting, shitting.
Ooh. Which is not sexy when you work at the American Apparel store.
No, it's not. It's not sexy at all. This one girl I worked with, she was like, we had this dealer who was like you could only do coke in his house if you stuck it up your ass, which I think is like a really smart business because you have to do like a whole gram at once.
Really?
Yeah. You just stick a rock right up your ass.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you get really high off drugs by sticking them up your ass. People don't know that, but you do.
Lawrence knows about that.
So does Reno, apparently.
Yeah, I do.
But so I would do like a lot of coke up my ass because like otherwise you would have to leave. And his house was like kind of like a party house. So.
But he would only let you stick it up
your
ass.
Yeah, he'd be like, no, you can't like do the whole thing here because he was straight edge. So he'd be like, you have to like, I don't want that shit like around. Like,
so if you're going to be.
He was a straight edge crack dealer? Coke dealer?
He was a coke dealer, yeah. Yeah.
But his house was a party house, you said.
Yeah.
So you would go and you'd just go in the bathroom, shove a rock up your ass, and then drink for hours. And
yeah, just
fucking,
like hang out, whatever, play with guns, you know, count money.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, whatever you do.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, but that was when it was still fun.
When did the American Apparel ride end?
So I had a boyfriend who was jealous, as usual,
fuck.
And he was like, this is not okay. And then I moved to LA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I quit. I quit and I moved here.
Did you ever, when you got here, think like, oh, they're just right here downtown. They have stores all over. Like, or
no,
your boyfriend
no.
was with you.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to.
Yeah.
I was done. I don't know if I like burned it. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
You know, I was just kind of over it.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like fucked up. Yeah. Like I could not have a job.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't go to work. I didn't go out.
It gets out. It bees like that.
It do be like that sometimes. Yeah, they don't think it do, but it do.
Yeah. Like I, when I got here, like I didn't go to one. I don't think I went out once.
Yeah.
It was just the building. It was the tweaker. So the back to the tweaker real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, let's hear about Aaron Paul.
This guy. So
my kids went to school with preschool with his kids, and I was always like, what up, Jesse Pinkman, you know? But that's so funny. I could picture it.
But, like, I went down to the garage, like, to do my laundry once.
Which is a good place to get high in those buildings, too.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah. So I was, like, bringing the trash out, and I threw my trash in the dumpster, and he literally popped out of the dumpster. Like a fucking raccoon. And he was, like, he just, like, looked at me with these, like, wide eyes, and I was, like, are you okay? And he was like, yeah, I'm good. And I was like, okay, cool. But then I had to interact with him because his panhandling, like, fake crippled girlfriend, she fucking would steal my underwear.
Oh, from the laundry room.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
So one day I was like, fuck this. Like, all my underwear were missing. Like, day after day. Like, one fucking pair at a time. Jesus, I had no fucking Christ. Underwear. So I went and knocked on their door. And I, like, instantly regretted it because, so they had, like, this loft. It was a studio. They had this loft bed, and he, like, opened the door, and then, like, he had, like, one of those claw things, like, you that you grab, like, a thing off a high shelf, and he, like, flicked on the light, and he was above the door because he was in, like, a loft.
Oh, shit.
And so he just, like, popped his head, like, to the top of the door frame. And he was like, what do you want? And he flicked on the light, and there was like 100,000 cockroaches.
Oh, fuck.
And I looked in his apartment, and there was like 100 microwaves. And like, it was just like the weirdest. It was just a zone, you know?
Yeah.
Just like a meth
zone.
Did
you take off?
Yeah, I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. Keep the underwear, you know? Fuck it.
Yeah. I don't fucking you change my underwear anyway. Yeah. Like, the fucking Wilshire building, man.
Do you have any good angel dust stories or PCP stories?
Yeah, I do.
Can we hear one?
I smoked a sherm with this guy. I was visiting my mom. And I smoked a sherm with this guy that, like, worked at 7-Eleven. He would, like, I would buy. So I kind of knew him because I would buy, like, cartons of Newports. He would, like, steal Newports, and I'd buy a carton off of him for, like, what, you know, whatever.
He would take him out the back door. And
Yeah. So I met him in the back, and I smoked a sherm with him. I went completely insane. I don't really know what happened. I just, like, went fucking ape shit, as one does
when they smoke PCP.
Yeah, and my mom took me to the emergency room, I ended up getting committed, and I had to do like a 30-day program.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. And this is in New York.
This was in New Jersey.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I wasn't living with my mom at the time. It was like I went home on a weekend or something.
Just let me just take a little puff of this fucking sherm stick.
Dude, I mean, other times it was less crazy, but that was probably like the craziest thing that, like, it was like completely psychotic emergency room. I got the piss test. They were like, you are like, you have opiates or whatever. Cause I was taking like a shitload of Percocet at the time. Yeah, and then they were like, she needs to go to psych ward, rehab. I did like a 30-day. It was, but I got out of going to school.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Have I ever seen a ghost? Yeah, well, I've heard a ghost. Mm. I had a roommate who, after I moved out, he was really fucked up. I was living in Philly at the time, he was this, like, just, like, really weird dude who had, he at one point had, like, a gun that he left out on the nightstand. I remember saying to my boyfriend at the time, like, he's literally gonna fucking murder us. He didn't. We had moved out at the time, but then he ended up killing himself.
Oh, shit.
The day he died, my cat was like playing on my nightstand table or whatever.
And you were living in a different place at this point.
Yeah. And my cat like knocked over this bowl. I had these runes, like rose quartz runes. You know what runes are?
Yeah. I think
they're
so.
Like a Norse, these things. I got them tattooed on me.
Oh, yeah.
Um, my cat knocked over this bowl of like these runes that I had, and a bunch of them shattered, and I put them all back together. I got them tattooed on me that day. But later that night, I couldn't sleep for like weeks after this dude killed himself.
Really?
Yeah, it was like the weirdest fucking thing.
Not because you were thinking about him, but it was just...
No, I was so fucking just like deeply, deeply disturbed.
Yeah.
And one night I was falling asleep, and I just felt like this darkness. Oh. I just heard like someone go, "Hey," like right in my ear. I think that's probably the closest I've come to
that's
seeing.
That's pretty fucking
I was
good.
Fucking spooked. Oh, and a dead guy called me. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was this other guy that I knew who, like, he did, like, Ibogaine, and he was, like, he was a tweaker, dude. Fucking tweakers. But he did, like, Ibogaine, and he was, like, doing okay for a minute, and then he, like, went completely nuts, I don't know what the fuck happened, but he ended up killing his landlord.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he like killed his landlord with a 2x4.
Was that here in LA?
Yeah, here. He killed his landlord with a 2x4, and then he like ripped a cat to shreds.
Oh my God, I know who she's talking about. Do. The guy in Los Feliz.
Yeah, you do.
Was it in Los Feliz?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
It was across the street from my friend Pat's house.
Okay,
directly across the street.
So, he fucking, and then he jumped off the roof and killed himself. And then like a week after he died, I got a call from him. I don't know who called me, but it was like the...
On his phone?
I got a phone call from his phone, and it like shook me.
God damn.
But it's only like, yeah.
Wait, wasn't this guy, he was in the entertainment business or something, right?
Yeah, he was in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he was living at Jonathan Shaw's apartment like right before. So I knew him because of that. He was living at Jonathan's, like renting it from Jonathan because Jonathan was in Brazil or something.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah.
Fuck, that's pretty good.
I'm a ghost. So I don't, I feel
no
like
doubt,
one.
No doubt. We've all lived through some shit.
I heard about a story that you have.
What?
I hear that was very like ESL of me. I heard about the story that you have.
I hear about
I
the story.
Story. You have good story.
Is it about the carjacking?
Yes, it's about a carjacking and maybe a watermelon or two.
Yeah. So okay.
Let's
so,
hear this story.
So my boyfriend was going to get Carl's Jr. We lived right next to Carl's Jr.
in Koreatown.
Yeah,
I know the one. Is that Vermont or is that
that's all right?
Normandy, whatever. Who the fuck cares?
I met a connection there one time.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, I'm gonna go to Carl's Jr. get some milk, whatever it was.
One does get milk at Carl's Jr.
Whatever he was gonna do.
Vermont and Normal.
He was gonna go out for like a few minutes, and he ended up being gone for 3 days.
Oh, as one does, without tweaking.
Yeah, but I was getting high with the neighbor, and I had like this really organized like search going for him for like day one and day two. I was like, I called. Is it central booking here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I called all the hospitals from like here to fucking San Diego. I called every fucking jail. I called, I was just calling like every couple hours, like seeing if he'd turn up. And he called me like 2 or 3 days later. And I was like, where the fuck are you? And he was like, I'm in Palm Desert. Like, he had gotten carjacked. So he drove out to Palm Desert and he was trying to get a blowjob or like turn a trick or I don't know what he was doing in like a Starbucks parking lot. And he ended up getting carjacked.
Oh my God.
So I had to go get him, of course. He got back. We got like $12,000 or something from the insurance company, which actually ended up being a blessing because it kind of like fueled like I really bottomed out after that.
Right.
But we got like a beater, and like 3 weeks after this all happened, he fucking gets a call from an impound lot like past San Diego. I think it was in like, I don't remember where it was, like Baja something.
Right.
And they're like, we have your car. And so we're like, all right, let's go down there and just like see if there's anything in the car. And we went down, and it was just like the frame of the car.
Oh.
No wheels, nothing. It was just like fucked up, like, you know, spray painted.
Why didn't
like
they
whatever.
Tell you this over the phone.
I don't know. They didn't really speak English or whatever. So we ended up, we go down there. And this is what they didn't tell us. When we got there, there was like 50 fucking rotten watermelons in the back seat of the car.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was like, what is this clown life that I live?
God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude, I got, yeah. I mean, I wish I could like have gotten into more stories. After, but it was just like that, like multiply by 100.
For sure. I mean, everybody has their rotten watermelon story.
It's
for
like
sure.
Like every day was a rotten watermelon.
Yeah, for sure. What? Well, some days are a blowjob in a Starbucks parking lot, but some days are a rotten watermelon. And those days you're like, why? God, why? But so you get sober after that. You stay sober for a really long time.
Yeah, I stayed sober for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I kind of like fell off my shit, you know? And I have like a problem, you know? Like, I think I'm like better than everyone.
You don't like nerds. You don't like
I don't like
nerds.
I don't like nerds. Yeah. Yeah. I really started getting like, you know, like I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I got like the cash and prizes. I fucking like in sobriety, I have gotten my apartment raided by the ATF.
No way.
Yeah.
Sober.
Sober.
Wow.
Yeah. Dry. Yeah, I was engaged and I canceled a wedding like 3 weeks before the wedding.
Damn.
Yeah, I was fucking nuts. Okay.
Yeah.
And then surprise, I relapsed after 12 years of just like, yeah. So
you say you're in your mid early 30s.
I'm 34.
I was on that same trajectory. Mm-hmm. About 34, 35. I had about 7 years, probably 5.5 years, really, but talked like I had 7. And I had to go do some more research.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even know. You know, that's the thing with relapses, like the one I had, like, you know, like pharmaceutical above board relapses.
Yeah, that's how mine started too.
I was probably out for like 6 months before I acknowledged that I was on a relapse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be high. I just didn't want to be like wanting to kill myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I might have saved your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely did.
Yeah.
You know? I was trying to save someone. As we do, mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I had a boyfriend who was like a really bad alcoholic. He would, you know, he had like yellow eyes would be like, my back hurts. I threw my back out. And I'd be like, bro, you have fucking cirrhosis.
Yeah.
Like your back does not hurt.
Yeah.
Like you are going to die in like 1 hour. Yeah. And I just like couldn't handle it. You know, I was so stressed. I'm anxious all the time.
Did he make it?
What I haven't spoken to him.
Oh,
I mean, he's alive.
Yeah.
But we don't talk.
With a back brace on.
Yeah, thinking he threw. He's
from
like, I pulled a muscle.
From CVS, you know, like not even go to a fucking doctor.
Yeah.
But so you're back now.
Yeah, I'm fucking back.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
Knock wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm lucky.
You got your Yankees hat on, your fucking strap, ready for
it. Got my fucking gun and my waistband. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks
gotta,
for talking to me.
We got to have you back.
Yeah.
We got to have you back on.
Yeah, I like literally didn't even talk about anything. It's crazy.
You did. No, you did.
So it was great.
But we got to have you back. Next time you're in town, we got to.
Everyone feels like that. You dropped heat.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And thank
you
guys for listening. And we'll see you soon. Later.
Right on.